I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Thank you for joining me once again today for It's a Good Life. We've been going through the bird's eye view for me and you, a study of the New Testament. And today we're completing our study through the New Testament. And we're going to look in just a few moments at the book of Revelation. Let me remind you to look at our website today, lrwm.org. That's lrwm.org. On the website, you'll be able to download this program and listen to it once again. You can also download a transcript of this program and others of It's a Good Life. And we'd like to thank BibleTranscripts.com for supplying those transcripts. Please go to the website, BibleTranscripts.com, and you'll receive a blessing as you look at that website. Thank you so much for supplying these transcripts, BibleTranscripts.com. Well, today we want to continue our study in the book of Revelation. And remember that the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It presents him as king, as the victor, and as the lamb that takes away the sin of the world. And once again, as we think back of our study last time, we looked at the last thing we talked about was the tribulation period. And of course, the church will be taken out. Those people who have trusted Jesus during this time, those people who are members of his body, the church, will be taken out before the tribulation takes place. And we need to understand this, that there are participants in the great tribulation. The man of sin, he's the son of perdition. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 and Revelation 6:2 talks about this. And also, there will be people saved during the tribulation. According to Revelation 13:7, it says, "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints." That's the son of perdition, or the man of sin. To make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. Revelation 13:10, "He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints." So we see that there are saints who will be going through the tribulation period, not those people who are members of the church. These are those people who get saved after the tribulation starts. In Revelation 14:12-13, it says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Right blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth." Now, see, speaking of the tribulation period. "Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." So we see that there will be people saved during the Great Tribulation. Well, is the Great Tribulation the end of the world? The answer to that, of course, is no. The end of the world, as we know it, will occur at the end of the millennium, the thousand-year reign of the Lord. To better understand the term end of the world, we need to remember the flood that took place in Noah's day. The water overflowed the world and cleansed the world, and the Bible teaches us that this world will be cleansed with fire. And Isaiah 66:22 says, "For as the new heavens and new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain," speaking of the Jewish people. Well, today we want to look at the purpose of the book once again, is to present Jesus as King, the Victor, and the Lamb. Well, the purpose of this study today is to present the second coming of Christ. You read about this in Revelation 19:11-16. And Matthew 24:29-30 says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." This is not the end of the world. This is the second coming of the Lord. Verse 30 says, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Remember last time we said that every eye is going to behold him, and those people who are left on this earth at the great after the great tribulation, at the end of it, everyone is going to see the coming of our Lord in glory. And people who are unsaved at that point are going to be asking the mountains to fall on. They're wanting to hide, but they can't get away from the Lord. The second coming of the Lord is the return of the King Messiah. At the end of Daniel's 70th week, according to Zechariah 14:4, it says, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem, on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. And half the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south." If you go back and study this, you'll find that many Bible scholars believe that Jesus was taken up into the clouds after his resurrection. He was taken up from the Mount of Olives, and this is exactly where he's going to come back, and every eye is going to see him. Now, the second advent, or the second coming of the Lord, is slow enough for people to realize and see what is happening, according to Revelation 1:7, Matthew 24:27. The second coming of Christ to the earth will be visible and obvious to all. No one is going to miss the second coming of the Lord. In Revelation 1:7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." And once again, Acts chapter 1, verse 11 speaks of this, "And they also which pierced him is going to see him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Well, there are signs of the second coming of the Lord, and such as the events in Revelation 6 through chapters 18. And there is much that must be fulfilled before Christ returns to the earth, such as all the events in Matthew 24, 3 through 31. That's not speaking of the rapture in Matthew 24, 3 through 31. It's speaking of the second coming of the Lord. Well, where is he coming back? And I've already mentioned this, that according to the scriptures, he's going to come back to the Mount of Olives. In Zechariah 14:4, it says, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives." And I would recommend that you read Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11 also, to read about his second coming. Well, at the second coming, unbelievers are removed. Believers remain, according to Matthew 24, 37 through 41. Yes, believers are, there will be believers, people saved during the Great Tribulation. Those people are going to remain and go into the millennium. Luke chapter 17, verses 34 through 37 talks about this, and Matthew 24, 38 talks about the unbelieving world in Noah's day. They were taken away in judgment, and that's what's going to happen to unbelievers at the second coming of the Lord. They will be taken away. And I remind you once again, Matthew 24 is not speaking of the rapture. It's speaking of the second coming of the Lord. Matthew 24, 38 says, "Whereas in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark." Well, that's what's happening today. People are celebrating. They have no concern. They do not believe that Jesus is coming again. But I got news for you. He's coming again, and you need to be ready for him. First of all, if you've trusted him as Savior, you're going up into the rapture, as we have spoken of last time that we were together studying the book of Revelation. Well, the second coming is not the rapture of the church. The second coming will not take place until the end of the tribulation period. And then we want to look at the millennium. The millennium is spoken of here in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. And in verse 6, it says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ." And notice this, "and shall reign with him 1,000 years. There would be 1,000-year reign of Christ upon this earth before eternity. In Daniel 7, verses 13 through 14, it talks about Christ is going to rule the earth. And the millennium is an answered prayer once we stop to think about it. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, it says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye," Jesus speaking to the apostles, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Notice verse 10 now. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." So the millennium is actually an answer to prayer. "Thy kingdom come." And the will of God will not be done in earth as it is in heaven until the church is taken out, the tribulation takes place, and the millennium starts. His will be done on the earth. In the millennium, there will finally be peace on the earth. according to Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 4, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. The Lord himself will teach the unadulterated Word of God. We concern ourselves sometimes with, well, how do we know what is the Word of God today? We hear so many different things about God. How do we know that it's true? Well, we don't have to concern ourselves and people who are there during the millennium. They won't have to concern themselves with that because Jesus himself will be the teacher. And then, eternity. What is eternity? Now, there has always been eternity. We are, as human beings, are governed by time, but God is not governed by time. Isaiah 57:15 says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." The first part of that talks about the one who inhabits eternity. With God, it's always eternity. With us, we are governed by time at this point, but eternity always has been. And we look back, in Hebrews 13:8, it says, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever." God is not hampered with time such as you and I, and eternity will take place, our eternity. We think of it as future, but eternity is right now when you stop to think about it. Eternity always has been. It's never going to have an end. Well, who will be present after the millennium? Of course, we know that those who have never trusted Christ and the devil, it says Matthew 7:23, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Matthew 25:41 says, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." All those people who have never trusted Christ, the devil and his angels, and all those people who work iniquity and the angels, they're all going to be in eternity, but they're not going to be with those people who are saved. Those people who have trusted Christ as Savior, we will be with the Lord. But it talks about, and it's sad, that those people who have never trusted Jesus will be with the devil. He says, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you." And it's they go to be with the devil, a place prepared for the devil and his angels, which is the lake of fire. And that's sad. Eternity. Isaiah 66:22 says, "For as the new heavens and new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain." I believe that human beings will inhabit the earth during what we consider a time period, which is not a time period, eternity. The covenants that were given to the Jewish people, these covenants have to be fulfilled. God said that they will inhabit the earth forever. And notice in Isaiah 45:17-19, it says, "But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, Seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right." In Revelation 22:3, the first part says, "And there shall be no more curse." Well, God loves you today, and he wants you to be saved. He wants you to know Jesus as your Savior. Why not call upon him today? Thank you for joining me until the same time when you'll hear me say, "It's a good life." May the Lord bless you richly is my prayer.
More. Jesus had the happiness that I